5 years ago, we interviewed people from all over the world for our 50th anniversary of ITB Berlin. The last 5 years have been incredibly exciting and challenging for the entire tourism industry. That's why, on the occasion of our 55th anniversary, we conducted interviews with the representatives of the time to find out how they have fared in the last 5 years since our last visit, how the pandemic has affected their work, and how they have dealt with it. Listen for yourself.
Welcome to the ITB Travel Hero podcast, Sanna. 5 years ago, Juni Bakken was part of our big ITB Berlin 50th anniversary campaign and received an ITB buddy bear from our ITB ambassador. And today we would like to look back on the 5 years together that have happened in between then and now. And we are very interested in what has happened in this time, what has changed, and how you are coping, especially in times of the current pandemic. But before we start, it would be very great if you could briefly introduce yourself and your company.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. So my name is Sanna and I work as a COO at Junibacken. And that is a children's cultural house located in Stockholm in Sweden. And we work mainly with the works of Astrid Lindgren, but one of her deepest wishes when we started in 1996 was that there should also be a lot of other authors and illustrators in the building. So we work with theater and exhibitions and interactive playgrounds for kids about 0 to 6 year old and their adults. So we opened in 1996. So that means we celebrated the 25th anniversary last year.
Wow, that sounds so great. Back in 2016, when we had the first interview, the plans of Juni Bakken included to expand and get bigger, as well as inspiring children to read more, because there was something you saw in the youth that children are not reading as much as they used to. How are these plans coming along?
Yeah, I'm happy to say that we have expanded. In fact, we got a bigger room for exhibitions, and we also have made a bigger like arrangement for offices and also the workspace for the scenographers. So that's really, I'm so glad that we actually had this base to start with when we went into the pandemic, because of course we can't talk about these last 5 years without mentioning that the last 2 years has been quite a journey. But I'm happy to say we have gotten bigger since last time, and one thing that really was important for us was to expand just in physical capacity, because the building was quite small. So now we also have one more space for making these kind of interactive playgrounds where we can develop and create these worlds from books. So what we do is we take an authorship or a character and we make that world three-dimensional. And that is one of the things we think is possible to make like a different way of finding the way into the books. Because these days there are a lot of things taking children's time. I mean, we have the screens, of course, and all the activities besides from school. So, of course, reading and the culture and the being able to explore things together with either the family or with friends, we think that is really important. And our idea is that there can be a lot of different ways to the world of books.
Yes, I can totally relate to that. And I really like the idea of making it three-dimensional and to make it more touchable and feasible for the people, not just having these imaginations about what they read, but also like being able to touch things, being able to see things, being able to smell, and
exactly, with all the senses. That's right. And I believe as well for this crowd, like the smallest children, of course you can't build a place where you're supposed to go walk around with the hands on your back, so everything is made for exploring, to be also not just visiting the worlds of the characters, but also experience what the characters are experiencing. So that is something we work a lot with.
Yeah, I can imagine. And it must be a very nice thing to see all the smiles in the kids' eyes and in their faces when walk around.
It's the best. Always when we open a new exhibition, we can be quite pleased with what we have built, but of course you don't know until you let in the kids, like how are they playing, and the happier we get, like when we can actually see that the kids perhaps aren't playing as we adults thought they would be, that is always the most intriguing moment, I think.
I can imagine. So you mentioned the pandemic already in the last 2 years that has hit the whole world and the tourism industry in particular. What new ideas did this bring to you, and how are you prepared for the future?
Well, I guess it was tough. We had to shut down for a period, and we have been laying under restrictions, which has made it hard for us to be able to open up for that many people that would like to visit us. And I guess it has made us, it was a big hit, and you had to be quite flexible to adjust quite and adapt quite quickly. So I would say the main concerns have of course been like the money, and the organization has been quite small due to the pandemic, but we have also been working a lot with like the adjustments. How can we make, how can we turn this to something positive in any way? And for us, it was really important because since our target group is young children, that has of course also been worried about this pandemic, perhaps worried about someone close by to them that are falling sick, or just about seeing the news and not being able to fully comprehend what is going on. So one of the first things we did was actually to invite the kids' soft toys to Unibacken. So when we shut down, we said, post your soft toys to us and we will promise they will have the time of their lives. And then we did this quite like small video footages of these soft toys that just came swooping in, and actually we got a lot of soft toys from Germany as well, which was quite awesome. So I guess in difficult times you also open up for a different creativity. Perhaps you try things you shouldn't have had the time or the courage to do otherwise. In the bigger picture, we also had we had to start up like the digitalization of Unibacken and speed that one up, so you can pre-purchase tickets and make it easier to access the museum. So in big and small, it has been, of course, a lot of troubling things, but we have also done a lot of things that has been full of creativity and playfulness, and it has been very important for us to always have the children's perspective during this time. How can we help adults and kids staying home, not being able to see or explore culture? How can we move into their houses and make a connection between people?
That is very important, I think, especially during the times of the lockdown. I remembered when I have a little boy who is now 5.5 years old, but at that time in the first lockdown, he was just 4, and it was so difficult to find new ideas every single day to entertain him, because we were locked up basically for 8 weeks, and we tried to make the best of it. But I really loved all these online things that just popped up out of nowhere basically, and it was great seeing
everyone came together to support each other, and that's really nice to see as well. It's been a tough period, but of course you can also see these initiatives that has been really warm and kind-hearted.
Yes, definitely. I really like that as well, to see how the society acted or reacted to this situation, and that it brought people closer together, even though we were basically distancing.
Yeah, exactly.
That feeling. So you talked about digitalization, of course. Another big focus topic in tourism is sustainability. Has the crisis affected your efforts or activities in that matter as well?
Yes, I in big and small, of course. I think in this kind of crisis, you automatically pause down, and many of our projects that was about to happen was paused. And of course, you take a step back and look at what are we actually doing and how should we do this? And sustainability has, of course, been a big part of that in both in our exhibitions, but also in just basic things like the low stock on paper in the book world. I mean, it has, of course, made us see what we are doing in a new way. And I think you, Gordon, the island where Unibacken is located, is also working a lot with sustainability and are looking now to see how the physical meetings can come back without perhaps working a lot with traffic, and how we can meet each other in different ways. So I think it has started a lot of important debates also in this sector, how we can meet across boundaries and just being able to talk to each other like this from different places. And it has become more and more natural, I think. But of course, we're also hoping that, and I also really believe this, that there is a need now for physical meetings, and it's also very funny to see now that we actually have opened up again and can be able to play theater for kids again. We have this theater show that is for about 6 months old to 2 year olds, and they haven't experienced culture during their life. So Unibacken is the first meeting with stage art, and the parents haven't been out with the kids as either. So I mean, it's both to have the longing for the physical meetings, but also how can we do that in sustainable ways, and how can we look at our processes when we do everything from exhibitions to stage shows to how we have our meetings in a proper and sustainable way.
Yeah, I can imagine that is a tough thing to do, but also a great thing that it has changed in that direction. How is the situation right now? How are there any, or is it different from before the whole pandemic situation? Do you have more, for example, more national guests compared to before and less international guests, or has that not changed?
Well, the last years we have had, of course, mainly national guests, and usually it's about 45% of our visitors that are international guests. So of course that has been a huge impact for us, and of course from time to time during this pandemic we haven't even been able to let in like the national guests, but it has also been interesting to look at. I mean, different countries have different knowledge about Swedish culture, so that has also been a big part of discussion in Sweden, I think, about like the tourism and how to make people want to come back and explore these Nordic stories and children's culture. So of course everything has been on hold, but how do we start now? And I guess that's the biggest concern that everyone is talking about. What is the new normal, and how do we get there? And do we necessarily want it to be the same way as before, or is this also the time to try something new?
Yeah. I think this whole crisis, because it has lasted so long, has started people to start thinking about things, about how things were, and also question the situation before, if all we did was right, or if we should change in certain ways.
Yeah, exactly. And once again, like in big and in small, and perhaps initiatives that we hadn't got the time to try before because we were preoccupied with just the day of the day event. So perhaps we also tried things that we will continue to do, and maybe we have also realized that some things that we did before wasn't perhaps the best way of doing things. So we have taught ourselves a lot, but of course the hard way, but it has also been necessary in some ways, I think.
Yes, I totally agree. If you could summarize your learnings from the last 5 years in 3 words, which would that be?
It's really difficult, but I would say it has been a lot about being patient, I think, patient and flexible, but also resourceful and creative. I guess that's 4 words, but I mean, it has been a balance between like a lot of waiting, but also the time hasn't stand still. I mean, like you said, being home with a 5-year-old that you have to like keep busy 8 hours a day, it forces you to be creative and resourceful with what you have. So a combination between this like patience and creativity, I think, has been two major things that we have worked with at Unibacken. And also, what can you do with no one can be able to see this. We don't have a lot of money, but what can we do? And sometimes that can be quite an intriguing start point for a project. Mm-hmm. So perhaps that's my way of describing the two outposts of this pandemic.
Yeah, definitely. I guess that also it's the same for people at home as well as for companies, because we are all in the same boat. Yeah, we are all facing the same challenges. My last question for today, what would be your greatest wish for the future?
Wow, a lot. Of course, there has been a lot of projects that have been paused that we now can start up again, and it's a bit it's some secrets that I can't talk about yet, but we have some amazing projects to look forward to that we will be able to show the world in not that far of a time. And of course to welcome back the tourists. I mean, we have we have missed showing like the great treasures of Swedish children's literature for the world, and are looking forward to create new amazing things for this audience.
That sounds really wonderful. And I have a little Emil of Lönneberger fan here at home.
Amazing, yeah.
So I would think that he would love coming to your museum as well to explore everything in 3D. And
yeah, welcome.
Yes, we will definitely put that into consideration, because we also wanted to travel to Scandinavia at some point with him. So thank you very, very much for taking your time today.
Thank you.
And to talk to us about the current situation and, about your current situation, but the whole tourism industry in general.
Yeah,
it was very nice. Thank you very much for your inspiring ideas as well, that hopefully reach other people now and make them make them left inspired to change something as well.
Yeah, that's my hope. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.